said, Jesus, take the wheel. When my brother and sister-in-law was at our home a couple of months ago, whenever that was, my sister-in-law said, I rarely speak, and she said, the Lord spoke to me to speak a message on Jesus, take the wheel. And ever since then, I can't get that out of my head. So I've never preached this message, but I'd like to minister this morning on Jesus, take the wheel. This is the chorus from the popular song singer, of course, Carrie Underwood. But the song is familiar, and it became famous a couple of years ago because it's about a story that seems to touch our hearts. And if you're familiar with the song, it's because a young girl who has taken some bad roads and made some bad mistakes. She was coming home from Christmas and hit a patch of ice with the baby in her car. And she begins to slide, and in desperation, she cries out, Jesus, take the wheel. Wow, I think I've done that before. Maybe not in those words, but you know, you see a deer, or you see something happening, or you see, feel something in life, and all of a sudden you realize you can't do this on your own. But that song connected with millions of people because it gives voice to some really deep emotional truths that we need to sometimes cry out and say, Jesus, take the wheel. But it expresses the feelings that we get when life sometimes feels like it's getting out of control, when we know we may be in trouble, when life's forces comes into us and it feels like the power is more than we can bear. It feels like more than we can handle. We find ourselves in crisis or out of options. What do we do? Because we're all humans. Like Dennis said this morning, we all face some really tough times. There's some people in here this morning that are facing really tough moments. And I want to encourage you this morning that no matter how tough the moment, we have to somehow put our vision in a higher spot and put our vision above and look up and say, I know from life's experiences, and I know from what I've heard in church, I know from the Word of God that I can turn it over to Him, because Jesus said, cast all your cares upon me, all your cares. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what household you live in. It doesn't matter if you're 2 or 200. Jesus said, cast all your cares upon me. And that's what I think we can do this morning, is cast all our cares, all of our hurts, all of our sorrows upon Him, because He cares for us. Jesus, take my life, take my ways, take my moment, take my tough times, take the wheel. I feel like I'm in control sometimes. I'm driving, but maybe I'm not in His control as much as I think so. But we've all come to these moments in our lives. Sometimes we face moments on a regular basis. Sometimes it's an illness that has struck us. Sometimes it's a temptation. Sometimes many people deal with addictions, or they suffer because of addictions of others. You may be suffering because you have a loved one or a child or someone you know or a friend that has a tough time. But you can help bear their burdens. But in our lives, it feels like sometimes all hope is lost. And in this song, it felt like she was losing control. But I tell you what, we can cry out and we can say this. And I made this, and for the audio, this kind of helps visualize that we can say, Jesus, take the wheel. Please, take the wheel. And you know, I don't know if some of you realize it, and sometimes I forget, and I want you to know that there is an audio on Crosswinds Alliance that if you miss a message, you can just simply click on Google, Crosswinds Alliance, it comes up, Sunday morning sermons, and you can click on the day and the person who spoke it. And the reason I'm saying that is I have a visual and you can't see that, but I made a wheel here so you can visually see that we can somehow in our minds, we have to realize that we can say, Jesus, take the wheel. But anyway, yeah, it's a plug for Crosswinds. No, not really. But you can click on Sunday morning sermons if you miss a sermon, or if you're not here, or if you'd like to listen to one over, I just want everyone to know it is there. And I praise the Lord for Dave and everyone that is involved in that, because it's an extra effort on their part. So here we have it. Jesus, my life is getting hard. It's just too difficult. Today is too rough. Maybe we need to say, oh, Jesus, take the wheel. I feel like there's just too many bad things happening. I feel it's happening to me. I want you to know it's happening to me. Maybe you're having a good day, but it's happening to me. Well, it's happened to all of us. But Jesus, I'm giving this over to you. You take the wheel and take control. But I thought, Lord, when my life began to fall apart, I don't really know if there was really an answer. You know what? Sometimes I don't know if we're going to see the answer. Sometimes we really, as human beings, we really want to know it all. Don't we really want to know it all? We want to know the beginning from the end. We want the answer now. Do we really always get the answer now? Not really. Some folks believe, they take out one scripture and say, in the Old Testament it says, command ye me. I ain't commanding the Lord to do anything. I'll tell you that right now. I ain't even close to that point. All I need to say is, Jesus, I'm falling apart. Take the wheel. Help me here. And sometimes, you know, it feels like you're in your own space. It feels like, you know, when things are going bad, you feel like there's no one else. It's not going bad for anyone else. But you know what? It is. There's someone else hurting. There's someone else suffering. There's someone else feeling your pain. Oh, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can hold it together. Well, then just bow your head. And you know, it doesn't take a lot. You know, the thief on the cross, you know what he said? He said, Jesus, remember me in paradise. Do you know that's all the man said? And Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. It doesn't take a long prayer. It doesn't take an ecclesiastical prayer. It doesn't take a theological prayer. It doesn't take something great, big, college prayer. Oh, Jesus, take the wheel. Help me here. Help me here. The psalmist prayed a lot. Help me here. But when we're in crisis mode, not only do we feel like sometimes God doesn't care, we begin to sometimes even question, is this Christianity for real? Is this really the real stuff? You may not always feel it, but that's why we don't go by feelings. We go by this. We read the book. It's in the book, folks. It's in the book. If we believe it, then we go, but we read it and we trust it. We trust it. We have to believe it. And when we believe it, it doesn't matter our feelings. We'll know. If you struggle with, am I really in the way of salvation? Am I really saved? Trust me, everyone has thought that. Everyone has done that. Everyone has been there. But you know what? The scripture says, if you declare him to be Lord and Savior, he is Lord and Savior. And some people don't want to say he is Lord. And the scripture says that one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. It's like an earth. Confess it now, because one day you will. You know, on a judgment day, people that haven't accepted the Lord as their Savior, they will confess he's Lord. So we might as well do it right now and make a good life of it. Make a Christian life of it, because the time is coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. King David, he often had times that he didn't understand. In Psalms 10 and Psalms 13, there was some very unusual scriptures in there. He talks about, oh, you know, why? How is this, Lord, that I'm having such a rough time here? And then he would realize, and he would, that, you know, sometimes David would get out his harp and begin to praise the Lord. Sometimes it feels like there's nothing you can do. But I want to encourage you this morning that when it feels like there's nothing you can do, that you can say, Jesus, take the wheel. Take this wheel. Take control. Take my life. Take this moment. Because we really need it. We really need him to do that. Sometimes things are just totally out of control. I remember, I'm not sure exactly when, maybe a month ago at work, I was just falling apart. I was just falling apart. You can fall apart. That's what I'm trying to say. We're all human. We're all flesh and blood. When we leave here this morning, you know, we go back to our jobs. We go back to our, you know, our living. But we have to encourage one another. And I said to Jean, I said, oh my goodness, I faced this like a couple of years ago. I don't know if I could do this again. And it was just a really rough moment. And I just was having a really, really tough time. And she prayed for me. She always prays for me. I think she prays for me when I don't know it. I'm sure she does. In fact, if Tracy, if she prayed every time she got on her knees, she wouldn't be able to walk. She prayed, you know, you don't have to get on your knees to pray. But, you know, she was praying for me. And, you know, one morning the Lord, I woke up and the Lord spoke to me. And it was kind of like I was half out of it. It was kind of like in a dream, but it was like Jesus was saying, turn it over to me, turn it over to me. And it was kind of like saying, Jesus, take the wheel. It's like, oh, Lord, this is really, really rough. I mean, it was bad. I mean, my supervisor was texting me at times that she shouldn't be. I was on vacation. Things were just really rough, really rough. And God spoke to me one morning and said, turn it over to me. Now, I don't know exactly how to do that, but I have some ways in my life. And, you know, that's the thing. You know, each one of us has times and ways that God speaks to us to turn that over. But I remember saying, Lord, I do that. I bring that to the altar. I lay this on you. I lay all of this before you. I ask you to work this out. And I, you know, said and prayed a little more, but basically, I was saying, Jesus, take the wheel. I can't. This is out of my control. And, you know, in about a week or two, I began to see the benefits of that. Not just the prayer and not just Jean's prayer, but just the benefits of saying, Lord, I'm giving it over to you. I want you to take control. And that's harder to do than it is to say. And I understand that. But that's why I bring out a real life experience for you so you can see that, you know, we all go through those really tough moments. But within about 3 weeks, God was working it out. And now it's been about a month, I'm going to guess. Not sure. But now God's really ironed that out and has mended the rough ways and has made it at least sustainable. Sometimes we want heaven on earth. You know what? How many times do we really have heaven on earth? Unless you're eating a peanut butter Reese cup. Those are really, well, no, or a peppermint patty. Some of you, I lost you there. But anyway, we'll get back on message. It's important to see our responses. It's important that we choose to trust the Lord. David had three things that I can see him doing to help us this morning. He said, I'm going to read them. I'm going to sing them. I'm going to know them. So King David said, I'm going to sing them. I'm going to realize that the revelation of the Lord, and for you and I, it's reading the word. So we realize if we read them. King David also remembered them. How often did he say, I remember my feet when I slipped, but God pulled me up. And so we can read them, we can remember his word, and we can always remember how good God is to us. Whenever you have a bad moment, remember a good moment. Bring it back to memory. Oh, God has been good to me. Oh, I think it's really a tough, tough time. Well, but God has it in control because we're going to give him the steering wheel. We're not doing this completely on our own. Sometimes it feels like it, but we're not doing this completely on our own. Before David, there's an amazing analogy that I want to bring out this morning, too. His name is Jonathan. How many remember the name Jonathan? Well, before King David became king, he was just an average citizen. He was just a citizen like you and I. He's just a citizen. And before David became king, he was a shepherd and he was loving the Lord and he was just living his life for God. He didn't have anything really in mind that he was going to completely, take the world by storm. But before all that, before David was king, there was another man. His name was Saul. He was King Saul. And King Saul had a son, and his son's name was Jonathan. Jonathan was good in battle. He was good in life. He was strong. He was the prince. Jonathan was a prince. He was the oldest son of King Saul. And Jonathan, by rights, at that time and era, he had rights to the throne. He had the right to become the king. He had the right to become the king. And that was his heritage. That was his birthright. He was going to become king. But Samuel comes along, and he was a man of God, and Samuel anointed David and said, David, God has chosen you. And there's a little more to that story, but God has chosen you to become king. Now, Jonathan was rightful heir to that throne. He should have been king. But when Jonathan saw that this friend of his, David, had been chosen by God to become king of the land, he realized that that was the will of God. And you know, Jonathan is another Bible hero because he gave up his rightful heir to the throne to become king over Israel because God had other plans. And Jonathan had every right to be upset at David. He had every right to be jealous. He had every right to say, you're not going to be there. My dad's going to make sure that I'm got my rightful place in the throne. But Jonathan had a heart after God. And so much so that when his dad, who was King Saul, began to chase David and said, you're not taking my throne, I'm going to kill you. The king of the land was after this young man, David, to kill him. I'm going to kill you. And he began to chase after him. Jonathan, who was called Saul's son, said, David, I'm not leaving you. I'm not forsaking you. I don't care if my dad's after you or not. I'm not taking his part because it's wrong. I see the will of God. I'm paraphrasing some things, but this is the essence of it. He said, I'm not going to be upset at you, but I'm going to love you because this is the will and this is what my heart's saying to do. Jonathan had every right to say, I'm taking the wheel here. I am going to be king because it's my right. But he didn't. He absolutely didn't. Now, that sounds like a great story, but that really happened. Jonathan turned, the scriptures actually says he began to knit his heart with David. He began to knit his heart with David and said, David, I'm not leaving you. I pledge you my support. In 1 Samuel 20 and verse 4, you would find these words. Jonathan said to David, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it for you. What devotion to a man who would take Jonathan's birthright. Jonathan's love and faithfulness to David remained steadfast, even as his father, Saul, turned against David. David was in trouble. David was running for his life at one point. But Jonathan said, sorry, Dad, this is the will of God. Samuel is going to anoint him. So Jonathan could have took the wheel, but he said, God, I give it to you. I want you to take over. I want you to have your will and your way. So, you know, there's a lot of interesting things in the scriptures, and we just are amazed by them. I'm amazed that a man would, you know, do something like that. Would we do that? Would we be willing to step aside and say, God, whatever your will? Maybe you don't understand everything that's said. Maybe you don't understand everything in life. Maybe there's questions you have. Maybe there's tough times you have. Maybe if you're not married, you wonder why you're not married. If you're married, you wondered why you're married. If you're a child, you wonder why do they have to be mom and dad? There's all kinds of things that go through our minds. But we can still say, Jesus, take the wheel. Take control. I'm giving you control. I'm giving you control, Lord. I'm giving you control. I had the, in your on your bulletin, you'll see the word Ecclesiastics. I could, if I spelled my eyes, I cannot spell this word. But let's look at it. It's in the Old Testament. It's Psalms, Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastics. Why don't you turn with me for a moment to Ecclesiastics chapter 3. All right. Ecclesiastic chapter 3 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born. Oh, Jesus, take the wheel, because there's a time to die. A time to plant. And it's wonderful when we can say, Lord, take the wheel, because there's going to be a harvest time. I'm going to be able to pluck up some fruit. A time to kill. I've had a tough, tough moment in my life. But Lord, I'm going to give you the wheel because I know there's a time to heal. I'm just putting a different spin on this to try to help our minds and realize how much we really have to do this and what we should do in our hearts when life gets really rough. Because sometimes we break down. In verse 3, it says sometimes we break down. But Jesus, if you take the wheel, I know there'll be a time you will build me up. Lord, I'm just weeping. In Psalms, it says, weeping endureth the night, but joy comes in the morning. I know there's a time to weep, but I'm going to hang on, Lord. I'm going to hang on because you're going to take the wheel, because I know there's going to be a time to laugh. Lord, I might be mourning now, but I'm going to let you take the wheel because I know there's going to be a time to dance. Time to cast away stones, but I know there's going to be a time of harvest. I know there's going to be a time when we will gather. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. Lord, I may gain, and maybe tomorrow I'll lose, and maybe today I'll lose, and tomorrow I'll gain. But whatever the case, I give it to you. I'm letting you take the wheel. A time to keep, and a time to throw away, and Lord, there might be a time that I feel like I'm just torn up. I'm tearing down. I'm just weak. But hang on. The Lord knows how to sew us up and how to hold us up. A time to keep silence. But Lord, you help me and give me boldness to speak for you. And I'll speak. Lord, sometimes I feel like there might be love or hate in my heart. But you know what? I'm going to let you take the wheel, and there's going to be love again in my heart. There's going to be a love for you again in my heart. I'm going to continue on. This message isn't going to go too much further, but I just feel like doing this. It just struck me, but you know, the last one in here says a time of war and a time of peace. But Lord, you're going to take the wheel, and I'm going to get peace. I'm going to have peace. I am going to have peace because you're going to take the wheel. And I want this back, but I want you to take this wheel and just feel what it feels like to take the wheel. Take the wheel and let him know that, Jesus, you are taking the wheel. I'm giving it to you because you're going to give me peace. You're going to give me peace. You're going to give me strength. I don't know how you're going to do that, but I don't have to know. He knows. I don't have to have all the reasons. He knows. I don't have to understand because he understands. Whoops, better go to the right place. I better understand. I just have my mind. I'm so earthly minded, I know earthly good. That was free. Let's read verse 9 and 10. Getting back on point, Ecclesiastic verse 9 and 10 says, what profit has the worker from that which he labors? I have seen the God-given task which the sons of men are to be occupied. Verse 11, I have highlighted. I love it. It says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. So, when it feels like we can't surrender, we can. When it feels like we don't know how, I believe that we do know how. There's a thought that I need for so many people. This song reminds us of how even when we're unfaithful, even when there's accidents, even when we're in a moment that we don't know what to do, He's faithful. Jesus can take the wheel. He can take control. I believe that with all of my heart. I've experienced that. Did you know you can't talk a man out of an experience? If you have an experience, no one can talk you out of it. And that's why it's wonderful. That's why it's wonderful to have a relationship with the Lord. Because if you have a relationship with Him, an agnostic, an atheist, a Jehovah Witness, others, and I'll be careful here, but you know what I mean. If other people try to talk you out of your relationship with God, they're not going to be able to, because you have experienced it. I have experienced Jesus taking my wheel and hanging on to me. And so I know it's true, and I know it can happen, and I know it will happen. And I even claim it in Jesus' name. We claim it by faith. We claim it. I was up near Wellsville, New York. Well, we were, but I was upstairs, and this was kind of interesting to me because I was starting to think about this message, Jesus take the wheel, and let me not get the cart before the horse. I look out and I saw something that was interesting to me, but here's what happened. About an hour before, I was with my son-in-law. We were out in his yard, and this older gentleman, I don't know how old he was, probably, I'm going to guess, in his 80s. I didn't say he was old. I said he was older. Older. This older gentleman, we met him. I shook his hand. We talked a few minutes. He was very kind, very cordial, you know, and he didn't know the Lord, from what I could gather. I gathered it later, but at the moment, I just met this man. Didn't know him. I don't even remember his name, but it was just a moment, only lasted 5-10 minutes, but kind, older man. Well, an hour later, I'm up, and I hear this noise outside, and this guy's swearing and carrying on and hollering. He had taken his little dog outside. He had this one of the little tails that went up overhead. He was wagging at this little dog. He didn't care what this man was saying. But this little dog was outside, and this man was carrying on and swearing at his dog, like hollering at this dog. You listen to me. I know you're not going to listen because you never did it before. That's what I heard. And he's carrying on, and this little dog, you know, dog doesn't know what he's saying. I mean, we think as people, I mean, Gene will tell you, Charlie knows what she's saying. I'm telling you folks right now, Charlie Monahan knows what she's saying. See? He's a dog, but he knows. He knows, Jason. He knows what she's saying. At least, you know, well, you know, some people you have to leave me, you know, in their own little world. This man, he knew this little dog listened to him, and he was swearing at him, carrying on. Well, the next thing I know, about 10 minutes later, it quiets down. I thought he took him in the house. Next thing you know, I see this man, this older gentleman, probably 85, walking down the street chasing his dog. He hollered at him, you get back here. He's swearing at him. And this little dog, and stood there and I thought, I ain't helping you. Go, doggy, go. Run. Run. I said all that to say this. This man doesn't know how. He doesn't know how to say, Jesus, take the wheel. He's doing it on his own. And how often do we get in that place where we're doing it on our own? But you know, I did. Because I had this message on my mind. I thought, that man doesn't know how. He just doesn't know how to say, Jesus, take the wheel. But if you want victory in your life, become the co-driver. Become the co-pilot. Let him take control. And I know that he will, I know he can, and I know he's going to, by faith. I'm going to pray for you. I would like all of us to stand. I just want to say a prayer for you. And I'm just going to pray that this week, God, that's going to just give you your own personal revelation of this and make it real to you. And I just want it to be an encouragement to you that we can absolutely live in victory when we turn it over to Him. Lord, we just thank You for this morning, Lord. We just thank You for what Your Word shows us. And we thank You for our hero, Jonathan, this morning. Lord, that even though he had every right to be heir to the throne, he gave it up. He gave it up because You had a will and a better way and a better thing for Israel. Lord, sometimes we don't understand. I don't understand why sometimes we face illness. I don't understand why sometimes we live with things. But God, I'm to the point in my life, Lord, where I don't need to understand. All I need to do is turn it over to You and say, God, it's in Your hands. So Jesus, I'm asking You to help each one of us to say, take the wheel, take my life, take control. Take the wheel, Lord, and we're going to give it to You. Lord, I just thank You, Lord, for this mental image that You can help us to make the Word become real to us. Make the Word become alive to us, because it's not a dead letter. It's a living letter, and we thank You for that, Lord. We just praise You, Lord, and as we go this from, you know, this place, God, we just pray that You allow this encouragement to be in our hearts, and that it'll transfer into our lives and transfer into Monday and go into Tuesday and go into Wednesday. And by next Sunday, Lord, we can say, oh my goodness, it was a rough week last week, but this week is better. Lord, I just pray for Your people, and I pray, Lord, that You'll bring us back to this place, Lord, encouraged that You've moved in our lives and moved in our hearts. In Jesus' name, we thank You, Lord. And everybody said, Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. You're dismissed.